Hey, Kevin and Alice and Elise here, having a look at your swill outline that you recently uploaded. Wow, this is a big story, folks. What your swill outline has done that is a good thing, because I think this needs to be organized, is it has created for you a timeline of events over these over this fairly large span of years and all this incredible activity. It's not an outline, okay? It is a timeline. So let me talk through some of the things that you're going to need to do to start working towards an actual outline. There are a bunch of things that I want you to consider, but the biggest thing is you need to go back to focusing on who is this about, because I think we lose track. We do meet Hirsch early on, but he sort of disappears. You get very wrapped up in telling me the whole story of World War II, basically. At least in this particular area, and we actually lose track. If I hadn't read your premise, I wouldn't necessarily know that Hirsch was the lead character and that him writing a song was going to be important, because he gets buried in all of this other stuff. So it's good to know what the timeline is around all of this. But what you're going to have to do now is go back and choose specific scenes and events in Hirsch's, not that you can't cover other people too, but you certainly need to start by following specific things that happened to Hirsch along the way so that we can follow his journey. Now, that's one thing. Another thing to consider is what you've done is organized it by year, and that's what I mean by it's a timeline. What you have not done yet is started to organize it by scene, which is very important, you know, for the next step as you move now into the rough outline. And in order to organize it by scene, you have to look at this timeline that you've done and said, okay, if this paragraph is the timeline I'm trying to cover, how many scenes is this going to take? What scenes should it be? How am I going to get this information across to an audience? And I usually encourage people to do more of that kind of thinking in the swill than you have. You've really stuck primarily to a timeline here rather than an idea of what are the scenes going to be that the audience is actually going to see. So something really important to consider when you start is, I don't think we talked at any point about whether you intend this to be a stage musical or a film, because right now the scope of it and the number of people involved say film to me. You know, like for instance, at one point you say 50 Jewish artists gather together in a cellar, and I'm like, do they now? Is that in your stage version of this musical, 50 writers, and this isn't even your whole cast? So that would be one of my questions, because how you deal with this outline is going to be very different depending on whether you intend this to be a film or a stage piece. So if you intend to be a film, fine, we can talk about it in very different ways, but let me for a moment at least concentrate on the idea that it is that it's meant for the stage, in which case it becomes really, really important for you to identify which characters you really want to follow, who are going to sort of embody. So instead of 50 people, how can you get away with having 10 people in that cellar? Which 10 people, and how do they embody what you want to do? Then as you start to talk about these scenes, you need to be, there's a few things you need to be really careful of. You need to be careful not to, as you move forward into the next outline, not to write sentences that indicate a passage of time. I'll be more specific about this in a moment, but things like, you know, he keeps coming back and telling him. That indicates a passage of time, right? That indicates that this happens more than once. But an outline isn't supposed to tell me, you know, about a passage of time. An outline is supposed to tell me in this scene he comes and asks him, and then you're going to give me another scene later. That's a different scene where he comes and asks him again. Or conceivably, and this show might benefit from this, you might need to have some montages, and then you want to clearly indicate there's a montage sequence. And then you sort of bullet point and you say, you know, Hirsch comes and asks Glick such and such. Vitna makes dinner for her father. Hirsch comes back and asks Vilna again. You outline the specific events that are going to happen in the montage to show me the passage of time. The other thing that you want to be really cautious about is you want to avoid dialogue, but the other thing you want to be really cautious about is to not draw conclusions. So it's fine in the Swill outline to say, you know, he feels, you know, his heart is fluttering and he's in love with her. When you move on to the outline, you can't say that because you don't want to draw a conclusion in your outline. You want to simply state the facts that the audience is going to see and hear, and then let someone like me read it and say, do I conclude from that he's in love with her? Do I see that? Because what you only want the outline to tell me what the audience is going to see and hear, not what the audience is going to conclude from that, because you can't control that. You can only give them as much information as you can and then hope that it will lead them into the conclusions that you want. So if you write the conclusion in your outline, you fool yourself into thinking that you've accomplished it. So by saying he's in love with her, you feel like, okay, I've accomplished that, but you haven't necessarily unless you've created a scene with actions that are going to show me that he's in love with her. So let me, based on some of these specifics that I've been talking about, let me go back and look at some of my interior notes so I can give you some specifics. So from the top here in Lithuania, 1928, you mentioned that someone is giving a tour and that that Schmirke is giving a tour and that Hirsch runs up to him. And then near the end, you say Schmirke introduces various characters throughout the tour. So when you translate that into outline form, you need to actually do it in order. You can't just say it and save it without telling me who and in what order. You want to be, that's how specific I want you to be. Note that you have Schmirke giving a tour, which implies to me that there's a couple ways to handle this. Either we actually see someone on stage literally giving a tour to a little group of people and we hear him talking to those people, or he's breaking the fourth wall and he's giving a tour and he's breaking the fourth wall and talking to us as if he's giving a tour. I couldn't tell from this outline which one you meant, so you want to be clear about that. And then you have another tour. In 1937, Bruno Kittel, a German musician and actor, gives a tour of the degenerate art. Is that the same kind of tour? Does he have a little group of people that he's showing around? Or is he talking to me? Is he breaking the fourth wall? So when you write the outline, you need to be very, very clear. So you don't want to say gives a tour. You want to say Bruno Kittel addresses us and tells us and welcomes us to this tour of the degenerate art exhibit. That would be the way you would do it if he was breaking the fourth wall. If he has a group, you would say, we see a tour guide with a small group of tourists on their way through a tour of the degenerate art exhibit. So in other words, you tell me what I'm seeing. I hope that'll make more sense as I continue through here. One thing to do is to really stop yourself. And every time you find yourself writing words like, we hear, we this, we that, rethink that, because that to me that implies a conclusion that you're saying here's what the audience is experiencing, and I don't want you to say we hear about German marches, because here's what you're doing when you say that. You're taking all of the pronouns out of it and putting it all on me. How am I going to hear about German marches? What you want to say, and this is going to seem like a small, semantic thing, but it's really important. You want to say, Bruno tells the group about German marches and how the Germans felt that jazz music makes the German blood less pure. The difference being, we hear doesn't tell me. It's not a blueprint. When you go to write your musical, it's like we hear, okay, so how are we going to hear about that? It's a decision that you've left for yourself to make later. I want you to make that decision in your outline, and then you know Bruno Kittel tells his tour group that the Germans feel that jazz makes German blood less pure. That's a blueprint, because I know who is saying what to whom. If that makes sense. So that's what you want to do in the next section. Note that in where it says 1937, Vilna Hirsch Glick approaches Schmirke and tells him he wants to write to. That already happened, as you'll notice, way back up in 1928 at Vilna. So you're going to want to figure out exactly when does Glick approach Schmirke. I think you're going to want it fairly early, right? Because Glick is your main character. And that was very hard for me to figure out based on this outline. He begins winning literary awards. His poetry is published. A sentence like that suggests the passage of time, right? To win literary awards and get your poetry published doesn't happen in a scene. It happens over a length of time. In a scene, you say, Hirsch Glick runs home and shows his father a letter and is excited because he's won an award for his latest poem and it's going to be published. That's how you write a scene in which we as an audience discover that he has won a literary award and his poetry is, but you can't just state it as a passage of time fact. You have to think up, what is the scene in which I'm going to find this out? Who's involved in it? Who's talking about it? How does it happen? I don't ever see that there's a response from Schmirke about, you make it seem like this is important, especially because, you know, in the first one you say Hirsch hands his journal to Schmirke, but I never find out if Schmirke thought anything of that, if there was any response, does anything ever come of it? So that it felt like a bit of a red herring, because it felt like it was really important. He's passing his journal on to Schmirke. What's going to come of that? And then I'm not sure we ever find out what came of that. Germans begin mistreating Jews and looting books and cultural treasures. Once again, that suggests a passage of time. What scenes are we going to see? Are you going to have a scene in a bookstore in which some German soldiers march in and, you know, push a Jew to the ground and throw all the books and walk away with them? You need to turn this timeline, passage of time, into a specific scene. Radios and newspapers are outlawed. How do we find this out? In what scene does somebody say to another person, oh my God, the Germans have outlawed radios and newspapers? Who's saying that to whom? What scene is that going to happen in? This is, and here's the issue too. You have so much information that you're trying to get across that you can't expect to get it all across. Unless you come up with some kind of an uber premise of a narrator who comes and tells us these things, who steps forward every now and then and says, at this point, the Germans outlawed radios and newspapers and blah, 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 and sort of fills in the gaps between scenes. That's a possibility. If you use a speech by Winston Churchill that we actually get to hear, maybe you have little newsreels and clips that are between the individual scenes, that, you know, so a scene ends and then there is a news clip of somebody saying, German people, from now on, no radios and newspapers. And, you know, and you do it that way as a kind of a newsreel in between scenes. Maybe you use projections, but you need to decide how you're going to do it, which of these facts are going to be revealed when. And you need to write it that way. You need to, so you would, in a situation like that, you would say, scene one, you know, Hirsch and his father have an argument over, but he's excited that his poetry was accepted, but his father argues and says, don't go to this meeting or whatever. And then insert projection or voiceover or newsreel and say, the newsreel announces the following, whatever. Okay, I hope I'm being clear. We see Jews being rounded up for life in the ghetto. Do we? You know, again, if this is on stage, if it's in a film, yeah, I suppose we do. But if it's on stage, who do we see? So pick a scene. In other words, rather than saying we see Jews being rounded up for life in the ghetto, have a scene where Hirsch and his father are at home having dinner. Maybe that's the very moment that they're excited about him being published and there's a knock at the door and it's an SS officer saying, you're being moved to the ghetto. Turn your timeline literary explanations into active scenes. This is going to be hard, guys, because you've got so much action. So that's why I'm saying it might really behoove you to figure out some kind of a narrator / newsreel / projections idea that will deliver a lot of this information. So you can keep your emphasis in terms of the action of the scenes on the actual story of Glick. A lot of people appear in this all of a sudden. Jens is named chief of police, and I'm like, who's Jens? When did I meet him? What scene is it? Do I see a scene in which someone walks in and say, Jens, you are now chief of police? Or how am I going to find that out? The young guard creates a resistance ghetto population to keep Jews clothed and fed. Again, that's a, you know, that's a statement in a history book that implies a gazillion scenes, but it isn't a scene in an outline. The word keeps, who's Ruska? Who's Witka? When do I meet these people? I didn't even know who Witka was. because the way you introduce it, you just say, Ruska tries to dye Vitka's hair blonde. And I'm thinking, is there a scene now where I'm meeting different people in a different place? And is Ruska Vitka's mother? I don't, what is the scene? We hear a story of Ponar. This is where I'm saying, look for the word we and say to yourself, no, we don't hear a story of Ponar because the pronouns are gone from that. The pronoun, if it's only we, how do I hear the story of Ponar? Do I see a projection? Does somebody tell somebody else a story? How do I find it out? The Jews don't believe the story. What Jews? Who's telling them? How do we know they're not believing? When was Hirsch? You know, Hirsch works during this time in a forced labor camp outside it. You've jumped over a beat of Hirsch being sent to a forced labor camp. So we need to see that. Do we see that scene? Who's Vitka? How did we meet them? In the December 1941, where it says he Vitka goes to Abba Kempner, a youth movement leader, to tell him about Ponar. Do we need to hear about Ponar again at this point? Because we already heard about it earlier. Or is this perhaps the time that we hear it? Because Vitka tells Abba. That's a reasonable time for that to happen. But then you would remove it from the outline previously. I would say resist dialogue unless you are... like, for instance, Abba sees the situation clearly. The only reply to murder is resistance. I would recommend, because an outline just gets bloated and difficult to follow, what you want to do is write something. You know that you're going to use a quote, and you could even put that in brackets saying, use this quote, especially in a swill. But when you get to the outline, what you want to say is, Abba tells the young leaders that the only way to reply to murder is resistance, and he encourages them to resist to their last breath. Do you see how I took some of the details of his dialogue and turned it into just a statement of his of what's going on here? He sees clearly what is happening as a prophet, so. I don't know from that whether you want me as an audience member to go, oh, he's being prophetic, or you want someone in the room that he's talking to. Who's going to know that he's like a prophet? If maybe what you're seeing is this, maybe what you would say is something like Abba suddenly, you know, closes his eyes and seems to be taken over by a vision, and tells the story of whatever. You know what I'm saying? So that you actually paint a picture for me of someone who's in some kind of a trance, if that's what you mean by as a prophet. If it isn't, then that's not what you want. A group of 50, and I'm going to say, are you going to have a cast of 50? In this one, four stories above, the Germans are singing. Are we seeing both of those scenes? Are we seeing on one side of the stage 50 Jews in a cellar, and on another stage an equal number of Germans? Do they hear each other? Because if the Jews can hear the Germans, then when the Jews start singing, then the Germans can hear them too, and then they're not secret anymore. So I'm not sure what I'm seeing. If it were a movie, we could, and maybe it is, and then you can just say, oh, for God's sake, Elise, shut up. It's going to be a movie. This is going to be fine. But I just want to bring up that if it's a movie, you could make that work. If it's not a movie, then this would be very difficult. You say the FPO is formed, but I'm not sure I know what the FPO is, what it stands for, I mean. You say, a gun is revealed. Again, you have stripped the pronouns out of this. Who reveals a gun to whom? I think what you mean is something like, Abba pulls a gun out from the desk and tells everyone that the first thing they're going to need to do is to smuggle in more guns. But you can't just say, a gun is revealed. You need to tell me who is revealing a gun to whom. They smuggle in guns in a variety of ways. Now you've shifted into a passage of time, because, and maybe you need a montage sequence here, but then in your outline you would say, montage, we see Hirsch training Vitka, we see a nun bringing them some guns, and you give me the little vignettes that are going to be in the passage of time montage. He is nervous and awkward around her. He's in love with her. As I said earlier, be careful you don't draw a conclusion for me. Just tell me the actions and let me figure out if he's... You could say he nervously tries to train her and awkwardly holds her arms while he shows her how to hold the gun. you know, to imply to me that he's nervous and awkward. But to just say he is nervous and awkward without attaching an action to it is not a usable blueprint for you. I started skipping over some stuff now because I'm going to just sort of start saying the same thing over and over again. But just before the section on the paper brigade, when you say we hear stories of Jews creating in the camp, this whole section, what I wrote is this is a massive passage of time. This section where they start to create theater and music and art and, you know, and they start to figure out how to live in the ghetto. This whole section is massive. And you're going to need either a passage of time montage. It's possible that this is where your act break is, and that when we come back after the act break, or again, maybe we see a whole montage of projections and clips or something. Anyway, you got to figure out, this is a ton of information. A group of Jews are chosen to work. Don't use the passive voice. Who chooses a group of Jews to work? What are we seeing? Are we seeing the moment in which they're chosen? Are we seeing the moment in which they are doing the work? Tell me what I'm seeing as an audience member. I don't know who Sutzgever is. Witka blows up a train, Hirsch writes her a song. Okay, that's clearly two separate scenes, and I'm not sure that Witka blowing up a train is a useful scene. I mean, I don't know how you do it on stage. Maybe you do. What portion of that do we see, and how are you, is there going to be a big boom? How does Hirsch find out she's dead? I assume she's not dead. She blew up a train. Hirsch writes her a song is not much of a scene. What's the scene? Am I as an audience member just watching somebody hunched over a piece of paper scribbling? I don't think so. So how am I going to know he's writing her a song? Is he singing it to someone? Is he singing it to himself? Around here is when I wrote down, who's your lead? I haven't heard about Hirsch up until this moment. Hirsch had sort of disappeared for a while. You want to keep him more front and center. Okay, what I did here, I stopped taking a lot of notes because I'm just going to be saying the same thing over and over again. As you translate this from a timeline into an outline, these are the things you're going to need to be thinking about. And so at your February 1943 one, I wrote an example of how you could take what you've written here, that paragraph about what's happened here, and how you could translate it into a scene in your musical that would give us this information. So rather than just stating German army surrenders at Stalingrad and then talking about this little scene, I thought, so how can we get the information that the German army has surrendered? But how can we get it in a scene in which this moment happens and, you know, and we understand what's going on? So here's the kind of thing. I'm not saying, you know, that this is what your scene is, but this is how you could write it as an outline scene. And here's what the scene would be, you know, scene. Witka is in the cellar cooking dinner. Abba rushes in, waving a piece of paper, saying that the German army has surrendered. He urges Witka to turn on the radio, which she does, and they listen to a speech from Winston Churchill. They both begin to laugh with joy, and Abba begins to dance with Witka. Witka tells him that finding happiness in such a place has filled her at once with guilt and with a belief in the holiness of life. So play that back for yourself a couple of times and see how I stated simply what is happening in the scene. And yet, by the end of that scene, we know that the German army has surrendered and we know that Witka and Abba have had this moment. Now, I know you intended other people to be in there as well. And so you'd have to revise that, who's in the scene, yada, yada. But that's the way you're going to want to take all of it. You're going to want to say, figure out how we're going to find this stuff out and incorporate it into a scene in which action takes place. Just in the paragraph above where you have July 15th, 1943, it says a small group gathers to hear his song. The song inspires the Jews to continue resisting. That implies a massive passage of time, right? That it's spreading like wildfire. So I would write a little scene where, you know, a group of the resistors have gathered, so-and-so urges Hirsch to sing his song. At first he declines. But then he starts to sing, the other Jews in the room get very excited and then say, you know, projection, we see. I mean, I don't know how you're going to say it spreads like wildfire, gives Jews part new hope. So I don't know how you're going to show us that Jews all over the country are, again, you know, I'm not saying this is going to be easy, folks. And I'm sure as you were writing this out, you already were saying to yourself, holy crap, This is a lot of stuff to deal with. But you're going to have to pare it away and pare it away. And even though you've done a lot of research and you have a lot of information, you have to pare it down to what's important in order to tell the story of Hirsch and his transformation. And all of the rest of this, quite honestly, is just a background to telling the story of some eight. Because here's the thing. You want to tell a great big story about how art, literature, music, all of these things can inspire resistance, hope, and change, right? And that's on the very, very universal level. Yay. You can't do that unless you're doing a documentary or writing a literary paper or something like that. In theater, you can only do that by taking the general and reducing it down to the specific. So what you want to do is tell me the story of an artist who discovers that through writing music, he can inspire people to resist and he can make a change in the world. You are representing the global with the specific. And yes, you're set in the backdrop of all this other global stuff, but I, as an audience member, can only track this one guy in order to come up with what you're telling me. And by the end of it, hopefully I will say, yes, art really is healing and can help the world. But that's not the story you're telling. You're telling the story of Hirsch and how he discovers this fact in order to get me to go, yes, this is a global thing. But you don't tell the global story, you tell the specific story in order to inspire me to understand the global story. Okay, so the rest of it would be more of same, really. So I hope I've been really clear. I'm not trying to say by any means that you've done anything wrong in the swill, because the swill is, you know, the swill is just meant to be an outpouring of thoughts. And so it was useful for you to organize the timeline. So that's very useful. I might recommend, before you get too much further with the rough draft, if you've already gone forward with that, you might backtrack a moment and try writing another swill now that tries to take these big epic time packets and say, let me pick a scene. What scene? Who's in it? Is it Hirsch and Schmerke? Is it Witka and her mother? Is it Hirsch and his father? What scene can I use? And how can I get some of the information about the outside world into that scene while telling the story of these people in the scenes? And I might suggest you take another quick crack at a swill outline to do that, to try and get a sense of it. But certainly as you go into the rough outline, you're going to have to start doing that. You're going to have to start saying, okay, not 1943, here's everything that happened, you know, across all of Germany in 1943. You're going to have to say, okay, scene three, is in a basement with this person, and here's what happens. And possibly do some thinking, as I say, about some kind of an uber theatrical device that can help you get out some of the rest of this, of the more global story, without having, I do think projections, newsreel, narrator, something like that is going to do it for you. Okay, hope all of that is useful as you move forward with the project. It's a big, big thing that you're working. I almost said a big bear of a thing, but that would be the wrong thing to say to you guys, wouldn't it? No bears in this show. Okay, thanks, guys, and more later. Bye-bye.